You know how sometimes I say that there should be a warning label before I start talking because what I'm about to say may change your life? I'm going to change the warning label today. I'm pretty sure I'm going to offend about 95% of you today. Sorry, not sorry. We're talking about prophets. Prophets by nature are offensive. Now, I need to make a deal with you today. If what I say offends you, I want you to promise me two things. One, stick with me to the end. Don't tune me out. Don't go to your happy place. But two, if I'm speaking truth and truth offends you, I think that's worth some prayer time. Don't you? So we're talking about prophets. We're in the series where we're finishing up putting the pieces together of what a whole church is, what a whole healthy, vibrant church is. We've already talked about the, if you see our little complex design here, teachers. We talked about evangelists last week. In fact, I can put that up, right? And then we're going to talk about prophets today. Still to come is shepherds and the apostolic. And then finally, we will be a holy church, pun intended. Because when we're whole as a body of Christ, we are holy. We are set apart for his purposes. So today we're talking about prophets. And I want to do a little informal poll. I like to talk with people, not just at people. So good or bad, what do you think of prophets? Are they good or are they bad? Neutral. Yeah, I like the neutral. Depends, right? Are they talking to you or are they talking to someone else? Prophets don't have the best reputation. And let me give you one example. This is Jeremiah. He's talking to the kingdom of Judah. Now, if you remember your history, there was a split, right? There was the north, there was Israel. They fell quickly. They had a lot of apostasy. They never had a good king. Just not anything good to say about them, right? But Judah hung on because they hung on to their traditions until they didn't. Jeremiah was the prophet that was talking to him, to them. And listen to what he says. This is out of Jeremiah chapter 7. If you want the full thing, read chapter 7 through 9 and then be prepared to be depressed. All right. So this is what God tells Jeremiah to say to Judah. He says, stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through the gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord God Almighty of Israel says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. If I had a background track, it would go dun-dun, right? Does that not sound ominous and threatening? What is your impression of prophets? Like, man, this guy's really grumpy. He just has a syndrome where he needs to go and heap guilt on people and make you feel bad. Or maybe you think it's that prophets tell the future or condemn certain people, like, you people are terrible, I'm going to call down lightning. Actually, it's not that. I think prophets are one of the most misunderstood group of people in the Bible. And I hope to change your mind today. But before I can do that, I need to offend you. And here's what I mean. See, we read stuff like that and go, oh yeah, man, those people, they were terrible, man. They lived all these different ways. And the prophets are just, you know, saying, hey, if you don't change your ways, things are going to happen. But man, I'm so glad we don't live in that society. Well, I brought a modern day prophet. What would a modern day prophet say to Fulcher? And I'm just going to read it because if I try to say it, I'm going to make it too nice. So here's the modern day prophet, and here's what he says to Fulcher. Now, understand, I'm not talking directly to you. I'm talking to all of Fulcher. But like I said, if I'm speaking truth and truth hurts, there's some prayer time needs to happen. There's some possible repentance that needs to happen. Here's the modern day prophet. Fulcher, you are a city of prosperity and rapid growth, but do not be deceived. Your comfort is not a sign of God's blessing if your hearts are far from him. You fill your schedules, chase success, build bigger homes, but your souls are starving. You say you love God, but you bow to the idols of busyness, materialism, self-sufficiency. You trust in your financial security more than the Lord. You teach your children to pursue every sport and extracurricular activity, but neglect their spiritual foundation. You pray for God to bless your plans, but you do not ask what his plans are for you. You fill churches occasionally on Sunday, but your hearts chase status, comfort, and the approval of others the rest of the week. And what about injustice? You're a city of privilege, but do you use that privilege for God's purposes or for self-preservation? Do you see the hurting around you? Do you care for the broken, the poor, the lost? Or have you closed your eyes because that's easier? You say, but look, we go to church, we believe in God. So did Judah. They trusted in their religious rituals while their hearts were hardened. If you do not turn back to the Lord, if you do not reorder your priorities, tear down your idols, and seek Him above all things, do not be so sure that this prosperity will last. Turn back, and I will let you continue to live in this land. How you feel about prophets now? See, that one stung a little bit, didn't it? Now he's talking about my life. He's meddling. He's in my business. And frankly, I don't want to hear what he has to say because I like the way I live. I like my world. The problem is it's not just my world. It's our world. And it's not just our world. It's his world. He created us. And so we have to find a way to tie all this together. Now, the modern day prophet, and again, see if you agree or disagree, this is what he would call modern idols. I get this from extensive research, right? So busyness, we all have it. Materialism, our reliance on things rather than God. Self-sufficiency, reliance on us. Captain of my destiny, master of my ship. That's the modern mantra. And it consistently fails if you look throughout history. And right now you're thinking, Bill, you got any good news today? Hang in there. It's coming. I promise it's going to get better. So what I need to do is to help you understand that when prophets say things like this, you have to look at their motive. Not just what they're saying, but why are they saying that? What's driving them to say this? And I hope to convince you by the end of our time together that their motive isn't hate. Their motive isn't condemnation. Their motive is love. Love for you. Love for God's people. Love for God's world that he has built. So let's see if we can get there in this stretch. Now, I'm going to read our Bible verse today is out of 1 Corinthians. And if you want to follow along, you can tune in right there. But I need to tell you that this passage is where Paul is talking about the difference between speaking in prophecy and speaking in tongues. And so it's a little bit confusing. I'm not here to get into the tongues issue today. I just want you to focus on the prophecy aspect. And am I willing to listen in return is a great question for us all to ask today. Am I willing to listen to God and return to Him? So here's what Paul has to say. He says, follow the way of love eagerly. Desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to the people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries of the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. And then in verse 19, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words, we are grateful. Let's unpack a couple of things in the scripture, because I want you to understand the purpose of prophecy. And I think when you do, you'll start to see that the prophet's heart is one of love. But I also want you to understand the importance of prophecy, because without it, we could truly be lost as a people. Where does it come into play in verse 3 there? If you look, it says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Did you find a modern day prophet very comforting? Most people wouldn't. Most people don't like the way that prophets speak, but their purpose is to encourage and to strengthen and to comfort. Now think about that for a minute. Hold that loosely as we work the rest of our way through, and maybe you'll see by the end that the prophet's heart is one of love. But the importance of prophecy, listen to what he says. I would rather speak 5 intelligible words in prophecy than 10,000 in a tongue. That's quite a good rate of return, don't you think? So maybe this prophecy is worth dealing into, delving into, and find out what it's all about. So here we go. What is it the prophets do? The prophetic voice sees and hears in a way that we don't. I say that the prophetic voice is the God's eye view. The prophet is one who has spent time in God's word, who has heard from God, who has been lifted into God's presence so much so that he has or she has a God's eye view. They can see beyond the little details of our daily lives that weigh us down. They can see the big picture. They can see changes in families, changes in culture, changes in communities, changes in the world that others by nature don't see. But it doesn't end there, because something about the way that they're wired just puts a fire in their bones. And what they see, they have to share. And what they see is not gloom and doom. It's, hey, we're maybe not headed in the right direction. And so the prophet is a voice of correction before catastrophe. See, if the prophet didn't love you, he would just go, man, y'all are screwed up. Good luck with that. And watch society disintegrate. But they don't do that. They say, hey, I'm noticing something here. I think y'all need to be aware. We're not headed in a good direction. And if we continue to go in the direction that we're going, it's probably not going to be good for anybody. So what do you say we turn around? That would be the kind modern-day prophet. But those don't exist, I guess. So one thing that he does is he does the hearing and the seeing. They receive the direct thing from God, and then they show and tell, right? They go and they speak the truth to people. And whatever it is that God has wired these prophets to do, if you think about any Old Testament prophet, they didn't just go say one thing and then give up. Now, this was like something that they couldn't not do. Like they were driven. This fire was in their bones. This message could not be contained. They continually talked to the people, even if the people didn't listen. That's what fascinates me. Like, you know, sometimes when you talk to people or you interact with people, you kind of like to hear that, oh, you've made a connection, or at least they're paying attention to you. But when they just totally blatantly ignore you to your face, would you continue to talk to them? No, but a prophet does. And you have to ask yourself why. Is he just that much of a socially unaware? It's like, these people aren't listening to me. Oh, I guess I'll talk some more. No, it's the love of God, the love of the people in that prophet that's driving that speech. It's not condemnation, it's not hatred, it's love. Just as Matt read this morning, God's love doesn't always look like our love. He loved us first in a certain way. We're supposed to love the world like he loves us. So let's continue to delve into this. Now, the whole purpose of everything that the prophet is doing is alignment. Because the prophet is the first. He's the canary in the coal mine that says, whoa, 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 we're not in line with God's guidance here. And it's not like God is waiting for us to screw up so he can hammer us. It's saying, I gave you some design here. I gave you some principles so that you could be founded on solid ground. And when you stray from those principles, well, you stray from solid ground. That could be you as an individual, that could be you as a couple, that could be you as a family, that could be you as an organization, as a school, as a community, as a world. That's the whole point, is alignment. So I thought it would be good to give you a demonstration. It is not Operation Christmas Child time, I know this, but the boxes were handy. So here we go. So in the beginning was the Word. This is the standard upon which we build. Successive generations come along and they get it mostly right. Not exactly right, but that's okay. We're human, we make mistakes. Successive generation comes along and they go, you know, our parents were that, they did these things and they weren't that bad. You know, we're not that worse than our parents. We're doing okay. We're just a little bit different than them. That's okay. And then you get a next and a next, and they're all just slightly off course, but no one's saying anything. And when you get further and further down the line, this could be a generational issue. This could be a culture. This could be a society that experiences this societal cultural drift. You notice that none of these is super off of the one right before it, right? So as we continue to build, eventually I'm going to block myself out. This is interesting. All right. So each one of these is saying, like, look, I'm only that much off of what my parents' generation did, right? That's no big deal. That's nothing. We're not that bad. But watch what happens as we continue to get off. Anybody nervous yet? Because there's one box left. I don't know if I want to put it up there or not, right? But here's the thing. This last generation, this one that nobody said anything about, would you say something if I was standing here and this was a brick? Some of you wouldn't, because you're like, huh? But those who love me, would you say something if I were standing here and this was about to go? Yes, you would. You're a prophet. Because you love me, you don't want me to get hurt. But watch what happens to the last generation, who's only this much off what is now the norm, the standardization of deviation. Here it is. That's how societies collapse.
You aren't going to clean that up, are you?
No. No, all is lost, gloom and doom. I've done my job, I'm out. That's how societies fall. That's how families crumble. That's how marriages crumble. That's how any relationship that is not founded on the Word of God will end up if we don't have a prophetic voice. Do you understand what I mean? So the difference is not that we just accept what it is, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, there was a standard, there is a Word that was there from the beginning, there is a Word that will last beyond anything that this earth has to offer. When everything else is gone, the Word will stand. So if you're looking for a filter to guide, you know, if you're the third generation, and let's say the fourth generation, because that's more dramatic, right? Besides, there's four boxes up here. If you're this generation and you go, you know, I'm not that bad from what was before me, that's one way to do life. There's another way to do life. I can forgive. I cannot accept what has been handed down as normal. I can return to the Word, which was in the beginning, which will be now and forever. Which life is more stable? Which life gives you life? That's the role of the prophet. Do you understand the prophet's love? Do you understand the call to return to what is the Word, the guidance, the way that we were created to be? Do you want to end up here or here? Say, Word Serve, I want Word Serve to be right here, solid, immovable, unshakable, founded in the Word of God, not drifted off into culture somewhere, not putting other idols in front of God, not taking Him for granted. I want us to return to what was meant to be. And if we do that, we will be on solid ground. And that is the role of the prophet. Now, as we look at the prophetic voice in the church and what that means to us, you can have too much and you can have not enough. There needs to be a balance. I will give you that. I just turned that off. If you have too much prophecy, you tend to lead into isolation and detachment from practical application. If all I'm doing is out there hammering people and they're not listening, there's a natural human tendency to go, well, I told you, but you know what? You're on your own. And by the way, no, I'm not going to help you anymore, because every time I help you, you just blow me off or you don't use it the way it's supposed to be used. Now, see, at WordServe, we always talk about repeatable and relational. The more I can spend time with people, the more I can make relations, the more likely I am to have influence in their life. And if I can establish this relationship, we can probably establish this relationship. There's a great saying, I wish I could remember who said it, but it goes like this: build a bridge of relationship that will bear the weight of truth. Let me say that again. Build a bridge of relationship that will bear the weight of truth. If you lead with truth, you're just popping them right in the face. What are the odds that you're going to have any influence over them? That works for some people, and that works short term. But I find in my experience, the more trips I have around the sun, that the hard right in the face lasts about maybe a month or two, and then we're right back at it, maybe worse. It's like a yo-yo diet. But I also find that if you spend time, if you build relationships that will bear the weight of truth, you have an opportunity to speak truth. And we speak truth not out of condemnation and not out of hatred, but out of love, just like a prophet. That's the whole point of the prophetic voice in the church. So if you have too much, you can get isolated. But if you don't have enough, you basically become irrelevant. How are we any different if we don't have this self-correcting mechanism? We're over here with the rest of the culture about to go, or are we here? Because if we're here, we're going to look different than the world around us. It doesn't take much to look out there and find out this is different. This life is different than the world around us. And it's not that we're better, it's that he's better. It's not that we're all that and we're, you know, God's gift to mankind. No, God's gift to mankind was his son, Jesus Christ, who makes this possible. That's the thing that we need to keep in our mind. This isn't about us. This is about him working through us. I'm not better than any one of you. That's the beauty of the gift of the cross. None of us are worthy of it. That's the definition of mercy, getting something that was not earned. And it's available to everyone. Why wouldn't I share this? Think about that. Where prophecy applies, man, where doesn't it apply? If you're in leadership, ethical leadership is scarce these days. Everybody's about to, you know, out to make the dollar, make the profit, cut the corner. Whatever happened to ethical leadership? The siren call to return back to the principles among which this nation was founded, which God founded the world. See, the funny thing about when you create a universe, you get to make the rules.
That's right.
And it's not that he's making rules to keep us from having fun. It's like, no, if you create the universe, you understand how it works. You understand the instruction manual, and you want to give that instruction manual to people that you love so that they don't violate the principles and end up getting hurt or lost or broken. Or any other words that you could fill in. It also applies in spiritual discernment. A lot of times in families, you know, we just kind of go with the flow, we go with the culture, we go with whatever's happening. I don't remember exactly when this was. My girls were young. Rap music, again, this is not Bill raving on rap music, but just so happened that this, you know, car pulled up next to us, you know, the one that you're vibrating in the seat, right? And, you know, the girls started kind of goofing off and dancing in the back seat, and I was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And I stopped and I listened to the words. I was like, holy smokes. Did they just say what I thought they said? Did you hear that? Yeah, so we kind of go along with things, but we don't really stop and analyze. That's just one small example. Not all rap music is bad. There are Christian rap artists. I'm just saying. I'm not harping on that. But I'm saying, don't take things at face value. Spiritually discern. Hey, mom, hey, dad, all my friends are doing this. Well, great, let's do the same. Said no parent ever, right? But yet we try to do that with our lives. Hey, God, everybody else is doing this. I'm going to do it too. Bad idea? Yeah, nobody does that. It gets away with it. Usually there are consequences for that. So spiritually discern at home, at every other place, and advocating justice. There's injustice all over this world. But sometimes we get used to it. Or sometimes we say, you know what? It doesn't really affect me, so I'm okay. Why would I raise a stink about something that doesn't affect me? This is why. Because you might think that, oh, if I'm doing the right thing and I'm good, I've got all the money I need, I've got the health, I've got the family, I've got everything that I need, I'm good. You gotta recognize that you're part of a bigger world, and this bigger world is lost and unstable. And you can be good for only until you can't be good anymore. And when society crumbles around you, no matter how good you are, you're gonna be affected. And it doesn't even have to crumble, it can just be unstable. And like I said, I think it was last week, I said, you know what? We can live on what we've got, we're still okay. But the direction that we're headed is not. So do you want to hand this off to your grandchildren or to their children? Or do we want to set it aright and hand them something better? I think there's a guy who said something about choose this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So there's all kinds of opportunities where we can do this. Now, how do you embrace this idea of prophecy? Because if it scares you, good. It should get your attention, but it shouldn't just leave you in fear. It should startle you. It should get your attention. It should drive you back to God, who is love, as Matt read this morning. Individually, you have to spend the time in God's presence. You have to allow Him to align you. I can't tell you how many times in my prayers I've caught myself trying to align God to my prayers instead of aligning me to God's desires. Like, God, please bless this thing that I'm doing. Oh, wait, did He ask me to do that? Does He want me to do that? Is that productive for the kingdom? Maybe I should start there. Not God bless my plan, but God, what's your plan for me? Help me align to that. And the only way that we do that is spending time in scripture, in prayer, in meditation, in contemplation, something that busyness is not a friend of. We have to carve out that kind of time. So that's the personal practice. Now, there's also a community discernment, because one of two things happens. Either a prophetic voice comes into your presence and you go, wow, which one of these is not like the other? That person's weird. I'm going to ostracize them. I'm going to shut them out. And guess what? Many churches in North America don't like prophetic voices. They don't welcome the prophet in their midst. And so there is no prophetic voice in their midst. And we know what happens when that happens. So first of all, if you meet someone that has this gift, just understand they're going to be a little different. But don't shun them. Don't shut them out. We need them. And if you know someone that has that has been shut out elsewhere, bring them here. We want to hear. Well, maybe we don't want to hear. We need to hear. Then the other thing is, anytime you hear a prophetic voice, don't just take it at face value. Test it. Take it to prayer. Compare it to scripture. Compare it to things that we know are solid. Then we'll know if it's truly God's voice speaking through them or just their rant of the day. So I do have some good news. I don't want to leave you there, because here's the thing. I also wrote out what that prophet would say if we did turn and we came back. I call it the modern proclamation of waking up. Best part of waking up is not Folgers. It's God. So here's the wake-up proclamation. Imagine a city where people prioritize their family's spiritual health over their schedules, where success isn't measured by square footage, but by kingdom impact, where neighbors know each other, not as passing faces in a driveway, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, where our children see us seeking Jesus in our homes, and not just on Sundays, and they grow up knowing that faith is a foundation, not an accessory. Imagine a community where our prosperity is not our idol, but our tool, where businesses flourish not just for personal gain, but to bless employees, serve the city, and fund kingdom work. Where churches aren't comfortable clubs, but outposts of transformation, places where marriages are healed, burdens are lifted, and people find true purpose. Where we don't just say we follow Jesus, but we actually live differently, boldly, generously, joyfully. See, the prophets never called us to sit in shame. They called us to wake up. They called us to turn from the empty, shallow, go-through-the-motions religion to authentic faith. They call us to not pursue that which will perish, but to pursue that which will last. They call us not to ignore the darkness, but to be a light of hope and healing. See, the real question is not, will God bless my family? Will God bless Folger, Texas? The real question is, will I turn and follow Him? Will you pray with me, please? God, thank You for the voices of the prophets through the years that have called us to return. Thank You for that same call that exists today, and help us not to just turn it off automatically, but to stop, to pause, to listen. Help that word to penetrate into our hearts. Help Your Spirit to guide us in our understanding. And most of all, God, help us to do whatever it takes to turn around, to follow You, to listen, to love, and to love the world like you do. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.